75 fabulous years of what God has done in this place. You know, it's inspiring to hear so many lives that have been transformed by God, and how Carmel has been the place of unity, of hope, of peace, of healing, of love, just to so many people. Like the smiles and the memories, and just looking at these photographs, you know, wave after wave, people have come here to Carmel and had their lives transformed by Jesus. You know, they've gone on to make a difference, not only here in Denton, but across the world. Isn't that just wonderful? Yeah. Can we just lift up a shout of praise to God for what he has done? I don't think that was good enough. Can we lift up a praise for what God has done? Come on! That's more like it. If you're shy in the church today, I'm sorry, but I like responses. I like you to speak out. I like heckling in a good way. But it's important to take these moments to reflect, isn't it? To retell those stories, that we can be like the Bible, where they kept telling the stories to the generation after. Look at the photos. Look at what we did. Look at the youth group that... If I joined the youth group now, I'll be a bit shocked, because I joined my last church and I joined the 20s to 30s group. They're in the 40s and 50s, and they're still called the 20s and 30s group. We have a youth group here that still call themselves the youth group. I hate to break it to you guys. You're like the youth group's parents, and maybe a little bit more. I hate to break it to you, but there is more coming, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Is there more coming?
Yes.
Brilliant. And yeah, we need to take these moments, don't we, just to reflect on it and to retell these stories. And it gives us a chance to zoom out of our everyday and see the bigger picture. It gets us to get out of our life cycles and just see what God has done and what he's going to continue to do. And so often in life, our focus can narrow. It can narrow to what is going on in our lives and how we can just get by with just enough. Just enough. And I've often found myself just getting on by with just enough. When Craig and I moved house and we had a drop in income, it was easy to let our focus become about money and bills, reinforcing that dependency on just enough. When health issues arose, it was easy to turn our attention to getting by and getting through each day, to have just enough energy and strength to make it through the end of the day. When loss came knocking at our door, it was easy to withdraw from the outside world and to hunker down as a family, to have just enough hope that it will get better tomorrow. You know, in every circumstance and every situation, we can be tempted to just have enough faith to get us through, or to press on, or do we want to go deeper and deeper and have a full measure of God to deal with that situation? See, in every circumstance, in every situation, we can be tempted to have just enough faith to get us through. And it can feel like this weight and this pressure, and it can feel like an opportunity for what's inside of us to be revealed. You know, are we half empty? Are we completely empty? Or are we full to overflowing what God's got? So that's what I'm going to pray for today. So let's just give God this moment right now and say, God, right now we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you are saying to us, not just for the last 75 years, but what's going on next. Lord, we want to hear your voice right now. Less of me and more of you, Lord. I want your spirit to speak through me right now. May we hear what you are putting on our hearts to hear today. Amen. Yeah. Because it can feel like a battle, can't it? There are some days it feels like this is a battle to get through. Other days, not so bad. We just do what Craig does, cruise through the day. But other days, if you're like me, oh, there's a battle. There's a battle. But you know what? The battle is not ours. The battle belongs to God. Who does the battle belong to?
God.
Who does the battle belong to?
God.
I don't know if you need to say it to yourself, but you need to say it out louder. Who does the battle belong to?
God.
Great. See, growing up, my brother and I, we used to think the battle belonged to us. We used to love winding each other up. Anybody else in the room like winding up siblings when you're growing up? Oh, just me. Okay. But we used to love it. We used to love getting that reaction, especially if you got them into trouble with the parents. Yeah? Can you picture me being that lovely child? Yeah. Great. Still, I'm worn it off. But I vividly remember one occasion of being so frustrated with my brother that I stormed into the sitting room, slammed the door shut, and just flunked into the couch. And my mother was sat there, just doing a cross stitching, just sat there. She didn't look up, she didn't say a word, but I felt the weight of my actions. I remember sitting there going, oh, I just need a minute. I know what I need to do. I just need a minute. And with a few more seconds, I went out and apologized to my brother. And that was a pivotal moment for me, not only in my relationship with my brother, but also it helped me understand something in the spiritual life. Now, I wonder how many of us have cried out to God in moments of frustration and just heard silence. I wonder how many of us have prayed and prayed and prayed only to wake up each day to the same doubts, the same fears, the same health issues. Now, I wonder how many of us are standing right now on a battlefield with the giants of depression, the mountains of debt, the anxiety of tomorrow, or the shadows of the past over our shoulders. But I do know this, that it is over and over and over again in the Word of God, it is in these moments that our defense and our attack is to be still and in the silence with God. You're 365 times the Bible tells us in one way or another, do not fear. That's one for like every day of the year, apart from leap years, but I'm sure God has got that in control. See, the word translated for rejoice or be glad equates to over 300 words. It's basically saying, look, don't worry. Be okay with this. Be happy. I am with you in this. Because I know the battles and struggles that we endure on earth can feel crushing and beyond our capacity. But that's where we need to go into the silence with God and just... There is no way to write that down, but just... But I know at times we can harden our hearts due to our emotions. Like, we've been hurt before, let's put up a wall so they don't hurt us again. I know that that's been a bad thing. I'm going to put up a wall so it's not allowed to hurt me again. I know when I hear that word, or everything inside me gets angry, but I'm going to put a wall there so I don't hear it anymore. It is so easy to put up these walls and protections to guard us from those feelings of loneliness and shame. And these walls that we build to protect us are the very walls that keep God out. Yet we're not able to give our full selves to God because we are holding back. You know, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they hid, they lied, and deflected from their shame and wrongdoings. They built up a wall to try and hide their mistakes from an all-knowing God. Like, hello? Why? Oh, God knows everything. Let's put up a wall so he can't see us. Have we been there? Yeah, they built up this wall to say, God, don't break it down. And God didn't break it down in anger. The serpent and the ground, yep, he cursed them for their actions. And the pain and the struggles and the burden for Adam and Eve was the consequence of their actions. But in verse 21, God's heart is revealed. For it says, Adam's first fear was being naked, and which is why he hid. So God's first provision was to clothe him. He saw what he needed. And he provided straight away. So rather than running away when we feel exposed and shame, fearful and anxious, what if there is a better way to face our battles? What if the answer to all our thoughts and internal questions and all of our worries, what if the very being that breathed life into us is the answer we need? To come into the presence of God and to sit down with him and let his love just envelop us. Let his face shine upon us so we don't feel the shame or the guilt or the fear anymore. We can be restored, rebuilt, and released. And released just whatever we came in. What if that feeling I felt with my mum was a glimpse of what it is to be in the holy presence of God? Now, she just sat there. She didn't yell at me. She didn't bark orders at me. She didn't have to speak a word. But in that peace, in that room, there was love. And I felt that conviction for myself because I knew what was right and I knew what was wrong. It was a chance for me to self-evaluate what I was doing, to restore my logical thinking and release me to be a better sister. How much more could being in the presence of God equip us every day to face the battles in our everyday lives? In 1 Samuel 17, if you could put the word, the scripture up, so I always forget to tell you to put the scriptures up, so I'm sorry. I apologize now. Craig's used to kind of doing it automatically, like telepathically, and then gets a glare when I don't do it right. But David said to the Philistines, You came at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I came against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the
Lord's.
For the battle is the
Lord's.
For the battle is the
Lord's.
And he will give you all into our hands. You know, we can sit there and we can say, oh, God's going to judge me if I go to him. No, we judge ourselves. Crikey, we don't need anybody else to make us feel as small as we can make our own selves feel small. We do a pretty good job of talking down to ourselves. The things that we tell ourselves, we would probably never say to another human being, yet we're quite happy telling that to ourselves. But God says, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. The battle belongs to me. Let me into it. Let me help you. Let me stand with you. You know, David faced many fears, many physical battles, but he had one name on his lips. In the Psalms, you tell him, talking to his very soul, oh, why are you downcast? You know, why am I feeling like this? I should be praising the name of the Lord. I should be letting the Lord fight this battle. He knew he knew fighting and conforming to the ways the rest of the world behaves would not be the solution. And I don't know how many of you have seen the TV show The Traitors. Oh, there's a couple. But in the current one, there's a celebrity version going on right now. And Stephen Fry said this in the introductory piece. So I'm not doing any spoilers for anybody who wants to watch it. It is not often in our very sheltered world that we are put in a position where we have no idea how we are going to react. No amount of education can give us wisdom. Wisdom is another thing. I thought, I know you're going into Traitors, which is a show where you're going to be pushed to the limit. It's a bit like a Bush Tucker trial if you've watched Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. You know, there's many TV shows that love to put, especially celebrities, into situations and film their reaction. And some people absolutely adore watching their reactions going, ah, I'm glad it's not me. I don't want to eat snails. I don't want to eat things that run around nature. But that is what it's like. What would we be like in those situations? We often look at it with missionaries. Could I go to prison for Jesus? Could I live like that? Well, God gives us situations which he knows we can deal with, and he stretches us bit by bit. He doesn't just throw us into something he knows we're going to struggle with, because he loves us. And I just thought that was so profound of him, that no amount of education can give us wisdom. No amount of learning can give us wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Well, Adam and Eve had no idea what it was like to have the knowledge of good and evil. They trusted the wisdom of another. They trusted the serpent to tell them, do this. This will help you understand. Do it. Come on. God didn't really mean that. Come on. So they trusted another rather than trusting God to base their decisions on. Who do we turn to for advice? Who do we let influence our thoughts and behaviors? Is it the world? Is it social media? Is it our family? Or is it something that's come directly from God? One thing humanity craves from our very first breath, is wisdom. To know who we are, to know why we exist, to know our purpose, to know our destiny, to know how the world around us works, to know what to buy our loved ones for a special event coming up, to know how to pay our bills, to know where to live, to know what to do each day, to know who to trust, to know all these little things. We want to know. We want to not go in there foolishly. But where do we turn? In James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, this is what it says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness. The battle belongs to?
God.
The battle belongs to?
God.
Where does our wisdom come from?
God.
God. See, pure is not for show. It's a genuine desire to honor God. Peace loving. It's not about how I was with my brother, looking for that weak point and getting that reaction. But it's looking for what calms the water. It's looking at what brings down that tension, not only in ourselves, but in the atmosphere around us. Gentleness is not a sign of weakness. It's being publicized that if you're gentle, oh my goodness, you're weak. But in our weakness, it's not about being the loudest person in the room with a megaphone, with a heart full of just words. Gentleness means being approachable, listening, compassionate, just absorbing what's going on and gently steering. Willing to yield is, you know, that stubbornness is not a quality God wants us to nurture. You know, the world wants us to be stubborn, to be rooted, to be strong in your convictions. But sometimes it's not about winning the argument. It's about letting out someone shine. It's about saying to another, come on, you can do this. I'll give you a chance to have a go. You might not be the best, but hey, come on, let's do it together. And mercy. Oh, if only we could fully grasp what mercy is like. How every thought, word, and action that may not have honored another, it might have hurt them, it might have elevated our own self of pride or selfish ambition, but if it was laid out for all to see, how guilty would we feel? But to know that God offers his mercy to be forgiven and released from all of our wrong choices, I don't think we can fully understand that this side of heaven. To see the good fruit that we do, that it's not by works that we are saved, but it is an outward sign of our spiritual health, that our actions reflect the teaching of Jesus. You know, are we more invested in what we are doing or advocating God and being the salt and light in every opportunity that God has given us? Inclusive. We're not just for people that we like. Oh, that's so easy, isn't it? Doing it for your friends and people that you get on well with. But are we welcome to every tribe, to every tongue, to everyone who might look different to us? And sincere. Are we faking it till we make it? That's a key word around this society, isn't it? Fake it till you make it. No. We need to be genuinely like sticks of rock. I always picture this when I was a chaplain, that if you cut me anywhere, it would say Jesus inside. You know, if you are a stick of rock at Blackpool, you would have Jesus written at every point where you break it. Are we living like that, sincere down to the very tips of our toes, to the top of our head? Will we see Jesus in every thought, in everything we do? Jesus responded to hatred with love. He responded to words spoken to trick him and deceive him with words of truth and correction. He spoke life into death. He spoke light into darkness, sight to the blind, healing to the disease, hope to depression, wholeness to the brokenhearted. And he's still speaking into our situations today. In Psalm 95, verses 8, and repeated in Hebrews 3, he uses this phrase, don't harden your hearts. In other words, don't let the fire go out. We've sung about it this morning. It's easy to sing, oh, let me burn like a fire. But we don't want that fire to go out. We don't want to put these walls up. And we don't want to fight in our own strength. We don't want to lose the passion of seeking first in all that we do. Wisdom is not to be afraid, but go directly to God. In Psalm 44, verse 3, it says, it is not by their swords that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was God's right hand. It was God's arm. It was the light of God's faith, and to the love that God had for them. It was not by what they could do as an army. It's what God could do. You know, people thought the Messiah, that Jesus, was going to come like a mighty warrior, coming to destroy the Romans and all that had wronged them. But Jesus fought hard, not with words of hatred, but on his knees in prayer in a quiet place with his Father in heaven. He fought hard, but not with swords and weapons, but with a heart of love and compassion. He fought hard, but not gathering up an army, but walking alongside the outcast, the sick, the lonely, the lost, the least, the last. That's where he was. You know, if you picture this, a whole lot of molten metal, you know, it's thick and malleable, this liquidy, goopy stuff. But it can be molded, it can be stretched, it can be purified while it is near the heat. But once the heat is reduced, the edges start to harden. The edges start to crust. The proximity to the heat keeps it soft. So is true with our faith. The intensity of being close to God keeps our hearts soft. So we will get hurt in this fallen, broken world. I'm sorry to say it. Things will come at us while we are in these physical bodies. But we don't need to harden our hearts to not get hurt again. We don't need to fight on our own to put up our own guard posts against the pain of loss and loneliness. We do not need to put up defenses against the shadows of the past that linger over our shoulders. We can choose to be near the fire. We can choose to be near to God. We want to be a people set on fire for Jesus, don't we? Don't we want to be a people set on fire for Jesus? Because he can carry that heat source wherever. He's given us that permission to carry him wherever we go. So we can go, Jesus, I am with you, and I can pass you, and we can reach more people because we are with the heat. Pastor Daryl Black said these words, and I don't often quote other people's sermons, so don't get used to this, but I just found these words were really powerful in this season. He goes on to say this: I have learned that people don't really want a savior. They want just enough Jesus. We want just enough Jesus to get into heaven, but not enough Jesus to change us on earth. We want just enough Jesus to inspire us and be grateful for that he does, but not enough Jesus to transform us. We want just enough Jesus to bless our plans, but not enough Jesus to change them. We want just enough Jesus to wear a cross, but not enough Jesus to carry one. We want just enough Jesus to be inspired on Sunday, but not enough Jesus to make a difference Monday to Saturday. You know, Daryl came to discover if your Jesus never confronts you, never challenges you, and never changes you, then that is not the Jesus of the Bible. He puts it as this: a glorified selfie with a halo. You know, are we hungry for more Jesus? As I draw to a close and the band might want to start making their way back, you know, just imagine if each one of us leaves here today a little bit closer to that fire, a little more closer to God. What difference would that make tomorrow? Just imagine if at work, when things don't go expected, we carried a little bit more of Jesus in our actions. What would that look like? Just imagine if when we met our friends and we were speaking, if we spoke more like Jesus into their situations, what difference that can make to their situation. Just imagine if we went daily into the presence of God, what that will do. Not only for ourselves, not only for our church community here at Carmel, but also the ripples it would make in the world around us. Now, I don't want to hear stories from the anniversary to only look back to the glory days, but I want it to be the foundation that we keep on building to reach more generations, to reach more, to share the hope more, to lift the name of Jesus higher on our praises and thanksgiving, to really speak the name of Jesus into this place and wherever God tells us to go. Now, the battles we face, we don't need to fight on our own, because the battle belongs to the battle belongs to the Lord. We don't need just enough. We don't just need just enough wisdom to face what the world is throwing at us. We need to be regularly at the feet of God, holding nothing back and letting his love surround us. He's all-knowing. He's seen what you've gone through. And he says, don't let that keep you away from me. Come to me. His arms are wide open. And he's not like we experience on earth where someone says, you can trust me. And you go, no, I can't. I've been hurt before. We've made friendships up again. We've resolved that issue. But I'm not sure I can fully trust you. God wants you to know you can fully trust him with everything. He is safe. His love is beyond what we can comprehend. We don't just need just enough. We need all of him. We need to be regularly at his feet. We need to be regularly asking him for more. We will feel his peace. We will know the path to take. We will see his hand at work in our lives. Even if the outcome is not what we would like, his wisdom will be our strength and our stay. Do you just want to stand while I pray for us? Lord God, we don't want to be a church of just enough. We don't want to be a church that builds up walls to keep you out. We want to be a church that comes to you, God. We want to be a church that knows when we sit in your presence that we know what we need to change within ourselves because we know what you are speaking to us. Lord, may your word not just be a book that sits on our shelf, on our coffee tables, and our phones as an app, but may it resonate with us. May it transform us. May it help us understand who you are and who we're meant to be. And Lord, for anyone in the room today who has not yet called you their Lord and Savior, who has not known what it is to be in your presence, who is so busy running around fighting their own battles, Lord, we just open this time to say, welcome us home. Lord, we want to be at your feet because we know that's where healing comes from. And healing might not be a physical healing, but there is a spiritual healing we need as well. Where life has thrown stuff on us and we've gone totally the wrong way. Lord, we are sorry that we have gone down this road and we about turn and say we want to have eyes on you, Lord. So if anybody in the room just wants to welcome Jesus into your heart for the first time, just open your heart right now and say, Lord, I want to know you. I'm ready to start giving my life to you. It might not be easy, but Lord, I thank you that you can forgive me for all the choices that I've made up till now that might not have been good for me or for others. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I want to welcome you into my heart, not just for Sundays, not just for Mondays, not just for Tuesdays, not just for Wednesdays, not just for Thursdays, not just for Fridays, but for every day of the week, Lord, we invite you in. We hold nothing back. And for those in the room who have been doing this journey a long time, Lord, give us the strength to keep believing in you, that no matter what comes our way, no matter how weary our bodies get, may we always be close to the fire, on fire for your name. May we praise your name. May we speak you into every situation because you are the mighty one. You can move the mountains. You can fight everything, spiritual and physical. Lord Jesus, we trust you. We give our lives to you, Lord, and we speak your name. Amen.